This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. A gunman has opened fire on a campaign truck carrying a former Pakistani prime minister on his way to the country's capital. AP correspondent Karen Chamas has the story.
Gunshots rang out just before chaos ensued. A video released by Imran Khan's party shows the former prime minister being carried away in panic. He was moved to another vehicle and then taken to a hospital in Lahore. Khan's party officials confirmed he was lightly injured but safe. He was later seen with a bandage on his right leg. The attack happened in the Wazirabad district in the eastern Punjab province of Pakistan. An unspecified number of supporters from his Tehreek-e-Insaf party, who were part of the march, were also wounded. Khan insists his ousting in a no-confidence vote in April was a conspiracy engineered by his successor, Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif, and the United States. Both the new Premier and Washington have denied his claims. I'm Karen Chamas.
The International Atomic Energy Agency says the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in southern Ukraine lost all access to external electricity following overnight shelling and is currently receiving backup power from its emergency diesel generators. Nuclear operator Enerhoatom blamed Russia for shelling the area that damaged power lines and electrical substations. Russia put the blame on Ukraine. Group of seven foreign ministers gathered Thursday to weigh how to support Ukraine through the winter in the face of Russian attacks on its power grid, as well as deal with China's growing assertiveness and Iran's crackdown on protest. The meeting in Germany comes amid concerns over the consistency of Western support for Ukraine. This is VOA News. Almost 8 million people in South Sudan, or two-thirds of the population in the deeply troubled country, are at risk of severe hunger. This, according to the United Nations on Thursday. The misery in one of the poorest nations on the planet is being compounded by widespread flooding, which now has affected more than a million people, according to the UN. Israeli Prime Minister Yair Lapid's office says he's conceded defeat to former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in this week's election. A near-final vote count showed Netanyahu securing a parliamentary majority. Netanyahu is expected to head the country's most right-wing government in history when he takes power in the coming weeks. North Korea continued its unprecedented pace of missile launches Thursday, sending six more missiles into the sea. Over the past 2 days, North Korea has launched 30 missiles, a record high by far. Applications for more U.S. unemployment benefits fell slightly last week. U.S. correspondent Jennifer King has that story.
The Labor Department says first-time claims for jobless aid fell to 217,000 last week, down by 1,000 from the previous week, and the four-week moving average was also down slightly. The total number of Americans collecting unemployment aid was 1.49 million, the highest in 7 months, but still a historically low number. Consumer prices remained stubbornly high, and yesterday the Federal Reserve raised its benchmark borrowing rate for the fourth time this year by 0.75 percentage point in an effort to cool the economy and tame inflation. The Labor Department's October jobs report will be released on Friday. Jennifer King, Washington.
World leaders are reacting with cautious optimism after the announcement of a peace deal and a ceasefire between warring parties in northern Ethiopia's Tigray region. U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price said it represents an important step toward peace. And U.S. President Joe Biden is on a final big campaign swing before Tuesday's midterms. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani. Well, we'll come back to that story next hour. The World Health Organization warned Wednesday that Ebola's arrival in the Ugandan capital highlighted the high risk of further spread of the deadly virus, calling on neighboring countries to boost their preparedness. Since Uganda's health ministry first declared the outbreak on September 20th, the country has registered more than 150 confirmed and probable cases, along with 64 deaths, according to the World Health Organization. Security is tight in the western German city of Munster as foreign ministers from the Group of Seven Nations are conducting a two-day meeting, and the UN Security Council has overwhelmingly rejected Russia's attempt to establish an investigation